Two words: experiencing aliveness. And to kick this topic off, I want us to watch a video that's 2 minutes and 11 seconds long. You will recognize the characters in the video. It's from The Wizard of Oz. And I want you to listen closely to each of the characters in this video as it applies to the aliveness they are looking for in life. Let's listen.
Here, here. Go away and let us alone.
Oh, scared, huh? Afraid, huh? How long can you stay fresh in that can? Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands up, you lopsided bag of hay.
Now, that's getting personal, Lion.
Yes, get up and teach him a lesson.
Well, what's wrong with you teaching him?
Well, I hardly know him.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Shame on you!
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs...
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are, why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right, I am a coward. I haven't any courage at all. I even scare myself. Look at the cycles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, that's too bad. Don't you think the wizard could help him, too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us? We're on our way to see the wizard now, to get him a heart.
And him a brain.
I'm sure he could give you some courage.
Well... wouldn't you feel degraded to be seen in the company of a cowardly lion? I would.
Oh, of course not.
Gee, that's awfully nice of you. My life has been simply unbearable.
Oh, well, it's all right now. The wizard will fix everything.
It's a great clip from the movie The Wizard of Oz, but here's what I want to talk about. Each of the four characters in that clip were looking for something. We know the lion was looking for courage. He was a coward. The straw man was looking for a brain, some kind of intelligence. And the tin man was looking for a heart. And Dorothy was looking for directions of how to get back to Kansas. And so all four of them were going to see the Wizard of Oz because something was missing in their lives. And I would suggest to you they were missing aliveness to life because something major was missing that they felt like they should need, that they needed. And so today as we think about this and we think about experiencing aliveness, the one character that caught my attention most is the Tin Man. The Tin Man, from what I understand from previous reading, may have got caught in a windstorm and he started to rust up. And he needed an oil can to loosen up his limbs. But he was looking for his heart. And in America, I believe one of the greatest challenges of our society is that we become like the Tin Man. We are busy, we work, we do all kinds of stuff, and somehow, some way, we lose our connection emotionally with our heart in living, which results in, listen, not feeling alive on the inside. We're a tin man. And so they went to the Wizard of Oz hoping they could find something that would make them alive on the inside. In your notes is a quote by Irenaeus. I've shared this before. It's one of my favorite ones. Here's what he says. The glory of God Is man fully alive? Do you know what honors God the most as being his daughters and sons? If we are living a life that's alive on the inside. But the problem is, we become like the Tin Man. I want to give you a definition of aliveness. It's in your notes. It means to be animated, to be intense, to be excitable, to be invigorated. And here you can feel this word in. It means to be energized. And the goal of the message today is that when you leave here, that you and I would experience a new sense of aliveness and we would be energized in a new way because we found our heart and what it means to live from the inside out. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4, there's a verse here. Let's read it together. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Circle the word alive. Paul says we have been made alive with Christ. The word alive means this: to make alive together with. To make alive together with Christ himself. God wants his people, his children, to live alive from the inside. So here's what I want to do today. In our text, John chapter 20, it's between the time that Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, which was about 40 days. He appears to the disciples at different times. And in this case, they're in a location. And he shows up, and in this text, not very many verses long, I think it teaches us about how to experience aliveness. So let's get started and walk through them. Number one, the first thing of how to experience aliveness is this: Jesus will meet you at your locked door. Jesus will show up. He will meet you where you are locked in. Now, in verse 19 in your notes, let's read this together. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. They're gathered together, the disciples, the faithful ones, the one that were his chosen people. And they were gathered together, and the door was locked for fear of the Jews. I would dare say that every one of us here have something inside us that is locked. It may be a struggle from the past. It may be a hurt from childhood. It may be something that happened last week, and we experience locked doors where we feel imprisoned, and we don't think we'll ever get out. But listen, understand Jesus has no problem with locked doors. He can pass right through them. And so he shows up where the disciples were together. He stood among them, and it says the door was locked for fear of the Jews. We go through life and experience disappointments and hurts, sometimes bad choices. And the end result is we feel locked, we feel shut out, we feel like we're entrapped. But I want us to understand, to get aliveness back, we got to figure out the first step, and here it is. Jesus will show up in that very place. Now, here's a couple quotes. If you don't go through life with an open mind, you'll find a lot of closed doors. If you want God to work in your life, we have to have an openness that he could do the impossible for us. After all, that's what he specializes in. So we have to have an open mind of what's possible. The tendency is when we get locked in somewhere, we don't think we'll ever get out of it. But faith says all things are possible to him who believes. Here's a definition of fear. Fear has two meanings. Number one, you forget everything and run. Number two, you face everything and rise. And at the bottom, the choice is yours. We can fear it and forget everything and run, or we face it and let it somehow lift us up. I read a story about, I'll get his name here, C.S. Lewis. He married later in life, and he married a woman by the name of Joy. Joy got cancer and died just a few years after they were married. And we find here that he, in the story, he wrote down his thoughts as he watched his wife suffer from cancer. He turned it into a book later, A Grief Observed. But here's what happened. In the early stages, he became locked in grief. He just struggled working through it. Anybody would. And the lock can be so overwhelming that you wonder if you'll ever get out of it. So each of us here have something that we're probably locked into, and we think we'll never get set free from it. I came across a picture, actually, and at the bottom it says, "Don't let fear lock you up." And I want to share with you some of the things on it, and y'all get this when I read through it. It talks about fear every year. In the year 2000... remember Y2K? How many here remember that, right? You know, the planes were going to fall out of the sky and everything's going to, you know, just whatever. 2001, anthrax went through the mail. Remember that? All right. 2002, the West Nile virus. 2003, SARS will kill us. 2005, the bird flu. 2006, E. coli. 2008, financial collapse. Fear. 2009, the swine flu was rampant. 2012, the Mayan calendar. They had predicted that the earth would end at a certain time, and people thought the end was here. 2013, North Korea, probably a world war or a you know, some type of nuclear attack. 2014, Ebola. 2015, ISIS. 2016, Zika virus. 2020, COVID-19. And what this article did, it says at the bottom, turn off the TV. That's a good word of advice. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? But it says, don't let fear lock you up. So you're here this morning, and you're like Dorothy. You're like the Tin Man. You're like the Straw Man. You're like the Lion. You're looking for something. You know what it is? You're looking for aliveness. You want to get that back. You want to feel like you're energized on the inside, and you're enjoying life. So number one, listen, Jesus will show up at your locked door. That's what he did in this text. Number two, he will give you peace to help deal with your situation. It's a pretty simple thought. He'll give you peace. So Jesus shows up. Read with me verse 20 in your notes. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Here's what's interesting. They're locked in for fear of the Jews. Jesus shows up in their midst, and you know what the first thing out of his mouth is? Peace be with you. I want to talk to us about the value of peace in your life. And I'll say this. To the believer, peace is your benefit and your advantage. It is your edge in this thing called life. You know why? The peace of God will carry you through circumstances and struggles that nothing else will. Peace is a big deal. So Jesus said, peace be with you. There's peace with God, knowing that we're forgiven. There's the peace of God. It's his presence living in us, and it can grow and be enlarged and be expanded. Jesus said before it in John 14, before he died, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Peace is a big deal, because peace is the advantage of the believer to deal with life. And let's read together the last one in Philippians. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." This peace deal, what happens is, if we protect the peace in our life, let me tell you, it can grow. And when we do not understand or comprehend or can figure out why I'm in this circumstance in life, listen, peace is enough. The peace of God. I just rest in it. I get comfortable with it. Say, God, I do not figure this out. It's beyond my understanding. And Paul says it transcends our ability to figure it out. Peace is a big deal. Jesus walks through the door, behind a locked door, walks in and says, "Peace be to you." Now, here's a couple quotes. Here's the first one. "Set peace of mind as your highest goal and organize your life around it." In other words, protect your peace. We can make decisions that will subtract from our peace. They're not good decisions. We can also make decisions that literally expands the peace pocket within our hearts. So guard the peace within you, because you know why? It's your advantage. It's your sound peace of mind. It's the sense of, okay, I don't get it, but God is with me. Everything is good. I'll walk it forward. Here's another one. Find your inner peace and heal your soul. Peace does amazing things. We just let the power of God enter your life through your peace, and it can bring healing to our emotions and what's going on in our life. So, number one, Jesus will meet you at your locked door. Number two, he will give peace to help you deal with your situation. And a couple of thoughts here. Go back to verse 20. Look at this. Jesus said, "Peace be to you." After he said that, he showed them his hands and side. Let me stop right there. If you allow Jesus to show up behind your locked door and you're attentive to it, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you a revelation of himself. He showed them his side and his hands. And you know what the end result was? They were overjoyed. You want to get aliveness back in your life? You want some more joy? Hey, just spend some time with him, and he'll give you a new revelation and illumination of who his grace is, his mercy. And you know what? You're going to become alive. You're going to get excited. You'll be overjoyed, because he is the one that can give birth to that new spark within us. So let's go to number three. The third thing about experiencing aliveness is this: he gives us a purpose to live for. I have heard different people through the years say, you know what, I really don't know what my purpose in life is all about. You could be young or old. People struggle with that. But can I tell you, I'm glad you're here. I will give you three things that are a purpose for every person here today. And if we live those out, we will be alive on the inside. Let's get started in your notes. Well, Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Notice that this is the second time he addressed the peace issue. He said it a little earlier, and he says it again. But he says, "I am sending you." It means to be thrust out or to go forth. So how to live this sent life? You know, Pastor Jack had a class on it for a month or two of what it means to live sent, to live on mission, to live on purpose, to live with a sense of passion. So let me give you three things that apply to all of us. Letter A in your notes. If you want to live a sent life, encourage people. Encourage people. Read with me Ephesians 4:29 in your notes. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is not rocket scientist stuff, but let me tell you, it is so basic it will give you a purpose when you get up in the morning. Here it is. Have a filter over what comes out of your mouth. A filter. In other words, Paul is saying, only speak that which is helpful in building other people up. Start with your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your friends. Monitor, filter, be careful about what comes out of our mouths. Be an encourager. And Paul goes on to say, let it be helpful for building other people up. You want a mission in life? You want a sense of purpose? Here it is. Everything you do every day is intentional to help build somebody up. If this church family, if I could really get a hold of this, let me tell you, it would be a game changer for our community. You know why? We are on mission. We are sent to make a difference and build people up. Have a filter over what comes out of our mouths. That's part of being sent. Letter B. Here's the second one. Help someone with your stuff. Help someone with your stuff. Let me explain that. And so when you think about, let me explain stuff. It's our time, our talent, and our resources. So everybody has the same time today. We all have different talents. And resources could be stuff in our home, could be money, could be anything. But help people with our stuff. Let's read 1 John 3:17 in your notes. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has not pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So I want to show you a slide. Here it is. A few months back when we decided to go to Israel and Jordan, the board made a decision to take some of the shed money that's collected for missions, part of it, and literally send $1,500 to the church we're going to over there in Jordan. It's way cool. So we're going to shuttle some cash, okay? But here's the second line. Jack mentioned a few weeks back about feeding children at the Jordan, at the school. And so he said, hey, it's $5 per kid per day, and I think there's now like 82 kids, and different people stepped up. I even had somebody give me some money this morning after the first service. And we have another $2,000 to take with us to give to this Pastor Rami to feed the kids who are refugees in his school. And so I want you to understand you're a part of this journey. And I want to thank you as a church family for sharing your stuff. It's just, if you want aliveness in life, share your stuff. Share your time with somebody. Be a listener. Share your talent. Mate, whatever you're good at, get it in line to help somebody through a ministry or your neighborhood. Thirdly, your money, your resources. You want to feel alive? I mean, you want to really feel good about you? Can I tell you what I found out? If I'm generous with my money, it may not be much. I can just give a little bit here. Let me tell you, end of the day, you go to bed at night, you feel like $1 million. You know why? You've shared your stuff. Aliveness comes when we are willing to help other people. And the more you and I do that, the more alive we're going to feel. The tin man will fade. My heart will come alive. I'll be excited just to get up in the morning because I got time, I got talent, I have some resources, and I am looking for opportunities. So thank you, church family, especially that second number, the 2,000. You're great. I just appreciate and proud of you, and thank you for all you do. And so just don't tell anybody that we're going to be taking $3,500 cash with us. We're taking it in hundreds on a money belt. Now, I just told the world we're on Facebook, right? Uh-oh. Pat prayed for us. We're okay. All right. Letter C, last one. Okay, first one's encourage people. Second, help people with your stuff. Letter C, share your story. Share your story. Read with me 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Here's the big one. Listen closely. If you are willing to be God's mouthpiece as an ordinary person, you're an ambassador, you're his representative, there will be opportunities even today to share your story of faith with somebody. It may be one or two sentences long, or maybe it's longer. Share your story. And you know what the end result will be? You will feel like $1 million, like you've come alive on the inside. And so the more you and I live sentness, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Hey, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Encourage people. Lift them up. Build them up. Be intentional. Guard the negativity and the words that can tear down and hurt. Let her be, hey, help other people. Just be on mission that you can every day look for opportunities, your time, your talent, your resources. You'll get alive doing it the more you practice it. And finally, letter C, share your story to influence somebody else's heart for the kingdom. And if God can find a group of people, just even a few, let me tell you, the blessings are going to start pouring in a greater way. Your life is going to go to another orbit, another level, just because you're living sent and you're intentional. You don't want to waste your life. You don't want to waste a day. And this is all free. You just do it because you want to. Okay. I love that one. Okay. He gives us a purpose to live for, which will bring aliveness back into our life. Finally, number four, and this is a biggie. We find that he showed up at a locked door. He spoke peace to them because he wanted to help balance out that they could deal with the hurt they were feeling. And number three, he gave them a purpose to live for. Number four is this. Allow Christ to breathe on you. Allow him to breathe on you. Read it with me, verse 22 in your notes. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Circle the word breathe. So he's having this conversation with the disciples. And when he gets to the end, he breathed on them. In the book of Ezekiel, it's in your notes, Ezekiel has this vision of a large valley filled with dry bones, their disconnected parts. God asks Ezekiel a question. He says, Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live again? Ezekiel said, Ah, Lord, Ah, Sovereign Lord, only you alone know. And then God said, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones, to these locked doors. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. You want to come to life? Then just let the breath of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, literally be breathed into your life. And all of a sudden, life gets fresh. It gets meaningful. I have a new spark. I live from the outside out, inside out. And so life can become energized and invigorated, all because I've allowed the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. We just came through a series on that. To breathe life into my heart. In Genesis, we find that when God first created Adam, it says he breathed into him and he became a living being. God is still breathing on people. All what it takes is his breath into your life to create a spark. You know what's exciting to me? Is if we get a group of people together in a church family in Walton, New York, and we collectively let him breathe on us, do you know what can happen in a community? I mean, God will just take off all over the place. You know why? We're alive. We feel good about life. We're not sour Christians. We're positive people. We guard what we say. We're careful how we conduct ourselves in the community. We're different. We live with an edge. We have peace. We have an advantage. That's what aliveness is all about. Here's a couple quotes. It's just, breathe on me, breath of God. Are you a tin man this morning? Have you lost your heart? Or what are you looking for? You're all locked up. It's the same thing day after day. You know, the danger is becoming mechanical in life. What do I mean by that? We get up, we work, and we go home. We get up, we work, and we go home. And you know what happens? Listen, we become a tin man. And we need a new breath of life in us. Here's the last quote. Breathe on me, breath of God. And here's the key thing. It's the verse from John 20. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to park it right here. There's a key word in that last line. Here it is. Receive. If you want to get animated, invigorated, energized, if you want to get excitable, you want a new fresh sense of aliveness and freshness, you got to receive it. You got to receive it. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, that breath into our heart, we're quiet enough and still enough to listen and say, here I am. I receive it. Let me tell you, aliveness comes into our hearts. And the tin man fades. I'd like for us to just pray this morning at the end here and ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to walk through these 4 points, and you just search your own heart, let God's Spirit help you. Number one, what's your locked door? Is it a hurt? Grief, disappointment, you're in prison. Everybody's got a locked door somewhere. Okay, Jesus will show up. He'll meet you at your locked door. So understand, it's no surprise to him. He's there right now. Number two, he speaks peace into your life. Peace be with you. And I want you to anchor to that. Just lean into the peace of God and make decisions and moving to amplifier decisions that will help it grow. And be careful not to go the other way. That subtracts from your peace. We are a steward and shepherd of that peace. But he says, peace be to you. Number three. Your purpose to live for. Encourage people. I'm going to get real personal. Listen, just heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you a good filter of the words that come out of your mouth? I mean, just be honest with yourself and God. Do we get too careless at times? And say snippy things that will undercut or undermine or put other people down so that I feel better about me. Make a commitment today, right now, that you will be an encourager and you'll be careful and cautious and filter the words that come out of your mouth to build people up. How about your stuff? This week, today, this afternoon, God will bring opportunities for you to share your stuff, your time, your talent, your money, whatever it is. Live open-handed. what's going to happen? You'll feel alive. And lastly, share your story. Say, God, here I am. Stretch me. I'm glad to do it. Help me, give me opportunities that I can tell or share my story of faith with somebody else this week. And then finally, number four, allow Christ to breathe on you. Breathe on you. Jesus said you got to receive the Holy Spirit. You got to receive it. That means you just have to be an open vessel, and he will breathe upon you afresh.